Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Tell me a story. Well, we know certainly enough about human psychology by now to know how happily and contentedly we live our lives has a great deal to do with how well we resolved the conflicts and the contradictions of the earlier phases of our lives. Freud, Erickson, Fromm, Maslow, all the wiser teachers of human development have described the phases of life and the issues and the conflicts that must be resolved. More often than not, there are a few awkward pauses here and there between childhood and maturity. Lives are seldom linear. Goodbyes, separations from parents are often never satisfactorily complete. When my father died a few years ago, it was, of course, an obvious separation. My goodbyes with my father were long goodbyes that began in my early adolescence and continued like many such fraying bonds as each of us continued on roads dividing. Ours was a complicated story, one like most stories of parent and child, father and son, mother and daughter, and the stories grew more complicated as chapters went on. Stories. Memories of childhood, we all have them. And those gifted with storytelling have written about them, about Christmases in Wales, Thanksgivings in the Midwest, spring mornings in Lake Wobegon. Our stories of childhood are romances. They are part memory, part pure creation, and part pure deceit. In my end is my beginning, wrote T.S. Eliot, and we have not come this way for the first time. The stories of childhood we choose to tell are perhaps one of the ways of explaining ourselves to ourselves. I am like this because, and you tell your story, which may or may not have anything to do with truth and reality. The stories of our journey are more or less mythical, and some are probably best left that way. Traditional psychological theory and practice, which was the deep pit of my education, has had a struggle alone or for a fee to find the truth in the past. But I wonder now. Truth is elusive when pursued down the twisted and grown over paths of memory. And I have come to wonder if it is not the truth, after all, that may save us, but our stories. Childhood passes into youth, youth into adulthood in that time of leave-taking, leaving childhood, leaving homes, leaving parents, leaving our work. Goodbye to all that. To enter the world, some say, as it really is. Like it or not, ready or not, it can be, as you may recall, the real world can be a rude awakening. Erik Erikson structured those phases of our development into opposites that need to be reconciled as we grow into maturity, into tasks that we need to resolve. The age of adolescence, for example, he said, is the time of the struggle for the safety of dependence and the struggle for independence. All our young lives, we look forward to not having parents yelling up the stairs or out into the yard that it was either time to go to bed or it was time to get up, it was time to do our homework or to take out the garbage. Later, it became our fondest fantasy to become rich enough to hire a full set of new parents. And we're told that we live in an age now of prolonged adolescence. And what that means, I suppose, is that it is taking many more of us longer to say goodbye to a time which seems, in our idealized stories, to have been filled with things like guitar strumming, freedom, carefree loves, smoky, acrid smelling rooms, and jobs that didn't take the heart out of you. Perhaps we forget the struggle and the pain that went along with those years, but there's truth in it. Ours is a time of prolonged adolescence. I'm convinced, for example, that a fundamentalist religion, the religion of the so-called alt-right, right-wing conservatism in general, is essentially adolescent in nature and function. Dogmatism in religion has to do with that ambivalence between dependence and independence. Dogmatism is the yearning for certainty, for absolutes, the yearning for some authority, for the Father in heaven or in Washington, whose will is firm and beyond dispute, and underneath children are the everlasting arms. Conservatism in the extreme is the unwillingness or the inability to part from childhood's deceptively warm blanket and turn toward the possibilities of adulthood and maturity, to endure the anxiety of possibility in order to explore the uncertainties within it. I remember in my young Methodist ministry, the favorite hymn in the retreats and prayer meetings I would lead, the favorite hymn was, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." And I often saw tears in the eyes of the elder singers, longing for another time, for an old story. In his work, The Varieties of Religious Experience, William James wrote of a morbid or a healthy religion. Morbid religion, he wrote, remains dormant, constrains freedom, because freedom involves anxiety. Adolescence prolonged deprives a society of its potential development and its creativity. Adolescence prolonged burdens us all with a citizenry and with a governance which is bound by the fear of change and movement, which is bound, in fact, by an unwillingness to grow up. It's not coincidence that politicians and leaders so often sound and act like childhood children in a schoolyard shouting at each other, "So's your old man, and you're another. Liar, liar, pants on fire." So many of our leaders represent now a society whose ambivalent and anxious citizenry are now old enough to elect their kind to office. A society afflicted with adolescence yearns for sameness, simplicity, fears diversity and freedom of thought, longs for those good old days that existed only in dwarfed memory and stories. They are like the kid who owns the ball and takes off saying, "Okay, you won't play my way, we won't play at all," and goes off with his ball. Now, Erickson said of the adolescent mind, it is an ideological mind. And indeed, he said, it is the ideological outlook of a society that speaks most clearly to the adolescent who wills to be affirmed by his peers and is ready to be confirmed by rituals, creeds, and dogmas, which at the same time define what is evil and what is dangerous. And the Bible says, "And a little child shall lead them." God help us. So, well, thank you and goodbye to all that. Before our world becomes too dark to play in, let's see if somewhere we can soon find a grown-up to lead us out of the deepening shadows. So much of living is leaving, so much to say goodbye to. The course of our lives is filled with events, with places, with relationships, with stories that run as we would have them run, some of which are still too much, the course of our lives filled with events, with relationships, in ways that still limit us, restrain us, cause us pain. Now, it would be unreasonable to simply say goodbye to all that, but sometimes it is helpful to think of our lives as stories. The story has characters and plots, events, comic and tragic, heroes and villains. There are givens in our stories, the stuff that we brought here with us and which stuck to us as we bounded or plodded along. There may have been some awful event which, leaving us in an unanticipated existence in which we now need to choose whether or not that event must be the central fact of our lives, whether or not everything else in our story must fall out of that, or whether the event can be turned toward the future, become part of a new meaning, absorbed into a new story. We may not forget the traumas of our lives, the disappointments, the lost loves, the lost opportunities, the lost years, but maturity would fold them into an evolving story. It's rather like that old movie. I think of the standard, poignant scene of the star-crossed lovers parting at the railroad station. They stretch and touch hands through the coach windows. The train begins slowly to move out, and then the train picks up speed. The final fingertip touch is broken, and one runs along the platform, waving frantically, calling goodbye, somehow never knocking down all the people on the platform or falling headlong over the luggage. And the other leans out of the window, you could do that once, waving, tears streaming, and finally the train leaves the station, and the running figure fading into the engine steam of history. Within the coach, he or she leans back into the seat, and the flashbacks and the memories. The story begins. The story is told in flashbacks, born out of its ending, as the train carries on to other places and other times. In my end is my beginning, wrote T.S. Eliot. Now, adolescence, of course, is not the only story in the rock-strewn path of our journey. Erickson divided 8 steps to be navigated along the way. We move from infancy to the toddler stage, and it begins with that quest for autonomy. Dare I walk from here to there? Which eventually must mean the freedom to walk along and away. T.S. Eliot's Proof Rock. Dare I eat a peach? And then in the scenario comes initiative versus guilt, industry versus inferiority, identity versus role confusion. In adulthood, there is intimacy versus isolation, generativity, moving lives along versus stagnation. And finally, in that concluding phase, wisdom versus despair. Whether we will surrender too soon or vow not to go gently into that dark night. Essentially, what this is all about is hanging on or letting go, to be or not to be, stay here or go over there. We may need to find the grace, the wisdom, and the courage to let go of the story or the stories which we may have allowed to be the plot of our whole lives. It is possible to begin a new chapter about what happens next. It is possible to become not just the character, but the storyteller. To a great extent, this is how we make our liberal religious education real and effective in our communal lives. We see no salvation in that old story. What William James called mature religion is a story in progress. It is an ever unfolding story, growing out of new revelations, new visions. People of liberal religion have moved beyond that old story, that their lives are bound by the gods or by faith. Now, this is more than mere rejection. It is more than simply we do not believe this and we do not believe that. The unfortunate answer to the question, what do you Unitarians believe? It is too easy to list what we do not believe, has nothing to do with our future. And it's more than changing churches, more than going back to where we were. My late friend Forrest Church preached that theology is all about what we decide to make out of what happens between birth and death. That is our theology. And that was Zorba the Greek's theology, if you recall. Life, Zorba said, is what you do while you're waiting to die. This is a defining, critical, revolutionary assumption. Theological, because it is ultimately critical to the quality of our life that we decide what our story is and what it means and what we would have it become. We can decide where it goes from here. You know, there's nothing like doing it to make it clear. So I suggest this to you, homework actually, in some quiet time, sit down with pen and paper, or if it has been some years since you've held a pen, sit with your computer and carry on your serialized story. A story that says something like this. So far in our story, our hero has done this, has done that, this has happened, and that has happened. You've met him, he met her, left him, left her. And then continue with, and now, gentle reader, here's what happens next. Carry on.